Just for a few minutes this evening, before we sing our final carol, I want us to think about one of the verses in the New Testament reading that we had. Part of the message that the angel gave to the shepherds on the hillside all those years ago. Those of us who were here this morning perhaps will remember that we focused on verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, which says this: "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" And tonight we're going to look at the next verse, which is the good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And the next verse goes like this: "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." I wonder if you're a big apps person. I wonder if you got your mobile phone out this evening and you showed me what apps you have on your phone. I wonder what sort of apps you would have. Maybe you don't know what an app is. Perhaps you're of the generation and you haven't got many apps on your phone. But nowadays, everybody has apps on their phone, don't they? And you can get an app for anything, can't you? If it's your hobby or if it's your work, you can get an app, and the app gives you all the information that you need about a particular topic. One of the most useful apps, I think, that there is around, which maybe you've got on your phone, or maybe you've seen advertised, is the app What Three Words. Do you know that app? So that app works on the basis that for every, I think it's every 3 square yards on the planet, there are 3 words. And so wherever you are, where you're sat now, your 3 words will be different to somebody sat on the other side of the church. There are 3 words for that area of space. And of course, that's really helpful for navigation, really helpful for delivery, if you're trying to deliver something, and certainly really helpful if you're lost. So imagine that you were climbing a mountain, and you got stuck, or you got lost, or you fell and broke your leg or something. Well, you could ring the emergency services, and if you've got the app, and you say the 3 words that your app tells you is where you are, then the emergency services know exactly where you are, because they've got the app as well, and they can come. Or maybe you're out in the car in the countryside, and you break down, and you've no idea where you are, miles from nowhere, but those 3 words give you your exact location. Or if you're out at sea on a boat, same thing works. And so that What Three Words is a really helpful app to have. Well, think about the stable in Bethlehem that we sang about tonight. They didn't have apps in those days, did they? Didn't have emails, didn't have anything like that. But imagine that they did. So what 3 words would sum up Bethlehem and the stable and that 3 square yards where the manger is and Joseph and Mary are? We know that what 3 words works on the basis of random words. They could be any words. But here in verse 11, we have 3 words that don't necessarily describe the place, but certainly describe the baby who lies in the manger. And let me tell you those 3 words. Let me explain to you what they mean. Listen to that verse again. "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." What 3 words? Saviour, Christ, and Lord. Let's start with that word Christ first. It's a word we hear a lot, isn't it? But we hear it as a blasphemy. We hear it as an exclamation. We hear it when somebody falls over or when something bad happens to somebody. But Christ is a lovely word. It's a word which literally means God's sent one, the one that God had sent. That's why we call Jesus Christ or Jesus the Christ. It's reminding us that Jesus was somebody who was sent. You see, all through the Old Testament, God had promised that he was going to send somebody to deal with Israel's needs, send somebody to deal with the needs of the world. And all the way through, God sent prophets, Those prophets came and they told people that this sent one was going to come, the Messiah was going to come. And so when the angel appears and when the angel speaks to those shepherds on the hillside, that's the word that he uses, that God has sent the one that he promised. And the one who's lying in a manger is the sent one. He is the one who is the Christ. You see, all through the Old Testament, God had said he was going to send somebody because there was a great need for somebody to be sent. You see, the Old Testament describes a world like our world, a world full of darkness, a world full of sin, a world full of the results of sin, a world full of things that God didn't necessarily invent and didn't bring into the world. God had made the world perfect and beautiful and sinless. But sin has intervened. Bad things have come in. People disobey God's commands. And you see, God has promised to send somebody, and the sent one has come. You see, God has seen our world, and he sees it today, and he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus for you, and he sent Jesus for me. And so the first word that describes the manger scene in our imaginary three words is the word Christ. God has sent his son to be the savior of the world, the Bible says. You see, and that takes us on to the second word, the second description of the babe lying in a manger. And that's that word, savior. You see it there again, don't you, in verse 11. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a savior who is Christ. Now, we all love saviors, don't we? We all love stories of salvation. We all love people who save us from danger. We saw it amazingly last Sunday, didn't we, in that incident in Australia. The horrific scenes of what went on at Bondi as those people were gathered together for Hanukkah. And somebody came and did that awful, demonic, evil thing. And there was a man who was willing to risk his life, wasn't there? To come and rescue those people, to try to disarm the men who had the gun. And maybe you've seen the video clip of it, and we're amazed at it, at his heroism and his remarkable bravery. We know that he suffered gunshot wounds, didn't he, in the consequence of it. But here we see a man who's a deliverer. Here we see a man who steps in at that moment to save people's lives. How many more people would have been killed if it hadn't been for him? And we acknowledge that, don't we? And we think about people who day by day help to save others. We pray tonight, haven't we, for those who'll be working over Christmas in the emergency services. The firemen, perhaps, who will be called out to people's home to rescue somebody from a blaze. And they've come to save, come to rescue. You see, the Bible tells us that we all need rescuing. We all need saving. When the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream at the start of Matthew's account of the Christmas story, he told Joseph, didn't he, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, you and I need to be saved from our sins, the things that we say and do and think that are wrong in God's sight, those things that are against his commands. Those things that stop us having God as our Father and as our friend. Those things that will stop us going to heaven one day if they're not dealt with. But you see, Jesus has come to save us from our sins. That's why we rejoice in his birth. That's why his birth is connected with the perfection of his life. All that he went around doing good. And how it's particularly related to his death on the cross that we celebrate at Easter. Jesus dies there to save people from their sins. And so as we look into the manger, and as we think of three words about that manger, we have to say he's a savior. He's Christ, the sent one, but he's been sent to save people from their sins. And then there's a third word. The third word in answer to the question, what three words about the manger, is that word Lord. And to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Now, when we start using words like the Lord, we are being reminded that this is not any ordinary child. This is not just human flesh. This is God. We sang it earlier on, didn't we? God of God, light of lights, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. You see, the word for Lord there reminds us this is deity. This is Godhead. This is God himself who comes as a man. Yes, he was a real man. He grew up to do all of the things that men do except sin. And so as we read about him in the Gospels, we read about him being tired and about him being hungry and thirsty. We see him going about, as you looked at him, you would say, here is real man. But you see, he's also God. He's God incarnate. He is the God man. He is 100% God and 100% man. And that word Lord isn't used lightly in the scripture and wouldn't be used lightly, blithely by an angel. No, well, born in Bethlehem, laid in the manger, is the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. You see, Christmas is, sometimes it stretches our minds and tells us things that are hard to grasp. And one of them is this, that this isn't just God sending somebody. This is God coming himself. This is God entering the world he made. And so as we look in the manger, and as we think of those three words, we say, here is Jesus, the Christ, the Saviour, who is the Lord. See, that challenges us this Christmas. It challenges us all the year round. You see, this baby wants to be the Lord of your life and the Lord of my life. Everybody has a Lord in their life. For most of us, it's ourselves. We want to be the Lord of our own destiny. We want to be the one who does what we want and live our life the way we want. And that makes us Lord in our lives. But you see, down through history, through the scriptures, here in this church, there were people who've put their trust in Jesus. And he's the Lord of their life. And yes, failingly and sinningly sometimes, they put Jesus first. And they make him the Lord of their lives. And they put their trust in him. And he is Lord in their lives. And that's what Jesus wants from you this Christmas. He wants to be the Lord of your life. You know, a little later on, when he was grown up, when he was here preaching, teaching, as he went around the land, he said to people, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. What's he saying? He's saying, well, be subject to me. Come and trust in me. Let me be the one who leads you in life. I'm not a hard taskmaster. I'm not one who's going to lay burdens on you that are too great for you to bear. And of course, that great promise is that if we come to him, if we believe in him, then we have not just life, real life in this world, but we have eternal life in the world to come. We began by reminding ourselves that three words app works particularly well when you're lost. Lost on a mountainside, lost having broken down in the car, lost in your boat out at sea. Do you know, my friends, the Bible tells us that outside of Jesus, we're all lost. Not physically lost, not geographically lost, we're spiritually lost. And the good news is that Jesus once said that he had come into the world to seek and to save the lost. I wonder if this Christmas you'll respond to those three words. the one who is Christ, the one who is the Saviour, the one who is the Lord. Let's